Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Yes, you can email the show aliveandkicking@newstalk.com or you will find me on Instagram. I'm at Claire McKenna Presents. Coming up this morning, your skin microbiome and how to mind it. I'll be joined by Michelle McDonald of Sauce to Skincare to hear how her son's eczema as a baby was the catalyst for her business. Tammy Darcy of the Shona Project on the new age of female empowerment and how after many years of talking to young girls, they are now beginning to add the boys into the conversation. And therapist Fiona Brennan is back to answer a listener query on imposter syndrome at work. So what kind of a health and wellness week did I have? Well, it was another good week. I seem to be on a bit of a roll. Don't get sick of me. There are always ups and downs and no doubt another down will come. But for now, I'll take the ups. I got my advanced breathwork teacher qualification last week. So that was a great milestone to reach. And it happens over a few days, so it's a bit like a retreat of sorts. It's on the south side of Dublin, a bit of a drive from me, and I'm all about reducing the stress where I can. So I just book into the hotel where it's on and I fully immerse myself. Time on my own in the room. Is there anything nicer than time on your own? I love that. So that was great. So too was the time where I wasn't on my own and was making connections with all the other people on the course. We're all starting to get to know each other a bit better now. And obviously Josie and Neil, who run the academy. And I met up with other pals for dinner on Saturday night and a sea swim. So who wouldn't be feeling good after all of that? I had fallen off the wagon with the gym in recent months. It's something I wanted to talk about. I had started to find it stressful. That's the only way I can describe it. I was rushing to a class, throwing weights around the place to pumping music, putting my body under pressure because obviously it's a challenge. And I really felt it wasn't what I needed to. But part of me was kind of pushing through because I also knew it's something I needed, that it is important for us to move our body and all of that, et cetera, et cetera. But eventually I had to just listen and say, no, not right now. So I know I've spoken about leaving the gym, starting with Reformer Pilates, really enjoying it, far more chill, the studio, the other women in the class, the music. And it was still enough of a challenge, but I started lately to crave a bit more, to add on, not instead of necessarily, but I started to miss the sweat of a spin class and to lift weights. So I have joined another gym and so far so good. And the reason I mention all of this is because I think the reason I started to crave it again is because, as I've told you, we seem to be sorted on our new home. We're at the solicitors and contract stage, so we're not on the final furlong, but we're doing well. And I think the space that has freed up and having an idea of where we will be meant that I could take on something else and I could take on more of a challenge. Before that, I just don't think I had the headspace. So my point is that it's important that we listen to our bodies and our intuition and go with it. I needed to slow things down a little bit. There was enough going on. And now that that has eased, it's okay for me to ramp that part up again. We all have seasons in our life and it's okay to go with them. So how has your week been? I always love to hear from you. You can email the show aliveandkicking@newstalk.com. And a reminder about the upcoming Camino Challenge with Focus Ireland. They are taking interest registration. So if you go to their website, focusireland.ie/events-challenges, you'll see it there. And if you just register your interest, you'll get an email with information. You won't have to fully commit, but we are looking to get 20 of you to come with us. We have some signups, so get in quick. focusireland.ie. Now, Michelle McDonald is the founder of Sauce Skin Health, which she developed with her business partner, Dr. Brian O'Rourke. Michelle has worked in the beauty industry for over 25 years in education, training and sales. She's passionate about educating people to consider their skin as a health choice and not simply a beauty pressure. Her focus with Sauce is on the microbiome and using a full circle approach with our skin, body and mind, which of course are all interconnected, similar to our gut and skin microbiome. And Michelle McDonald joins me in studio now. Michelle, you're very welcome.
Thank you so much, Claire. It's so lovely to be here with you today.
And I love that ethos of your skin as a health choice and not just a beauty standard, because there's so much going on now, isn't there, with skincare. It can be overwhelming. But whatever your choice, be it Botox or boosters or having every cream across your dressing table and bathroom. Knowing why you're doing something, I think, is really important.
Yeah, for us, it's very much like a simplistic, minimalistic skin health approach. That's why we developed Zosta. We formulated it and it launched in 2022. It all started off with my son, Sean, when he was about 16 months old. His skin was screaming at me. And like most mums, you know, he had eczema, his skin was itchy, dry, inflamed. And I went everywhere to see what was the solution. What can I do to fix this? And also as a skin therapist, I thought I'd have the answer and I actually didn't. But I went down, you know, obviously went to the doctor and she gave me a topical steroid application, which, you know, worked, of course, but it wasn't the long-term solution. You know, obviously it came back again after a couple of weeks. So I walked into my local health store. Now, this is back in 2009. So think of like Barack Obama was president at that stage. You know, this is a long time ago. Like in skin health, we were not talking about the microbiome. We were only starting to talk about gut health. And you were really only finding probiotics in a health store. But when I walked into my local health store to wonderful Winnie, who's since retired, and she introduced me to a children's probiotic. And I could see within like a 2 week period, the difference it had made on Sean's skin. And then I suppose that was like what I would call my aha moment. You know, it's like, okay. I've been in this industry at that stage for like, you know, I was in 2009 for over 12, 13 years. I'm constantly seeing people with inflamed skin. You know, they're presenting with itchy, dry, inflamed skin, dehydrated skin. I mean, as a therapist, it's my job to be able to resolve that issue. But ultimately, my goal is preventative skin health. It's always been about the prevention. So from there, I suppose I started researching the microbiome. At the time, I was also a teacher. Teaching anatomy and physiology. So I'm walking into a classroom, talking about skin, you know, sharing about the functions of the skin, showing them diagrams of the skin. But no one is talking about the microbiome. No one's talking about on the very top layer of our skin, you know, lies like a carpet are microbes, which have a composition of bacteria, fungi, viruses, parasites, mites. And this is how we're born. This is how we're brought into the world with these. And when they become inflamed, that's when we see imbalance in our whole body's ecosystem. And at that point, you know, I started researching. As I say, it took over 10 years of research. And then through an Enterprise Ireland programme that I got accepted on, I met my now business partner, Dr. Brian O'Rourke, and we made our first prototype of our microbiome booster serum in the university in Carlow, in the SETU in Carlow. And we launched it in 2022. And today we've won numerous awards, which I'm so incredibly proud of. So we use the very same ingredients that you use when you're feeding and supporting your gut microbiome.
And it's interesting that with all your training and knowledge that we were constantly looking at topical applications. We weren't looking at feeding the skin from within. And it's so obvious when everything is connected. And I often talk on the show here about there being a fine line between applying blame or that it's something you did or didn't do that led to you having a skin condition or a diagnosis or an illness. But then there's also empowerment in knowing that there are certain lifestyle tweaks that you can make that can really make a difference to reducing your symptoms and improving your quality of life. And I always try and move between the two because I think sometimes, I bet you felt it as Sean's mom. What have I done? What have I fed him? What have I not done? Was I sleeping enough? Was I, you know, and we do tend to go to that blame, but it's information is power at the end of the day.
Absolutely. And that's a really good point. You know, as Sean's mom and as a skin therapist at the time, as an educator at the time, you would think I would have had the answer, but I didn't, you know, and it just shows that, I mean, you know, in like we are learning all the time. You know, we're constantly educating ourselves all the time. It's very important. And I think what's equally important as well is that we need to look at our bodies and remember that they're all connected. Like our digestive system is connected to our, you know, our skin health. It's equally connected to our brain health. It's, you know, everything is connected. And we kind of forget that we're just all connected. Like all of these parts are, it's quite simple, but all of these parts are connected. And we don't really look at our bodies in that way. That's why I think preventative skin health is really important. And when I meet somebody and if they have any inflammation in their bodies or on their skin predominantly, the first thing I'll say to them is, and I know I've said this to you before, is like, if your skin could talk, what would it tell me? And from that, just that sentence, we hear about digestive health. We hear about hormone issues. Or I hear about like stress, sleep. And from that, then I can put an actual consultation together, you know, and say, OK, do we need like, I always have a black book that is like, do we have a nutritionist on hand? You know, we're in skin health, we're only one small piece of the puzzle. You know, sometimes a psychotherapist, you know, like dietitian, nutritionalist, endocrinologist, you know, gynecologist, you know, it's very important that we look at every part of our bodies and how they're functioning.
Yeah, and I think that's so important. We're always looking for the quick fix, the magic pill, the go-to supplement, the magic cream or serum. And while they can all play a role, you have to look at all areas of your life. It's easier said than it is done. But stress is a huge thing to look at, isn't it? Your relationships, your lifestyle, your meaning and purpose in life, your joy that you're getting out of life.
Yeah.
They will play a major role in how your skin is. If people are having flare-ups, is stress often at the basis of that?
Massively. Massively, but then it's getting down to the root issue of where is that stress coming from. That's why I always say, like, I mean, obviously my expertise is in skin. So it's very important for me to have knowledge in all different aspects, but also go to the expert in that area as well. You know, so if it is stress, like, and when you are talking to people, you know, generally you'll find if you ask them that question, are you stressed? They'll say no, because they don't even know they're stressed. You know, they're waking up and they're just like, it's like one thing after another, what do I have to do today? They're just ticking the boxes and they're not finding the joy. That's why it's interesting. You even said that as well. Sosta is actually called in Oscuelga to be happy and contented. And that was really important for me to have a name that meant also it's not a beauty pressure. You know, like for us, it's not a beauty pressure to apply this. What you want is preventative skin health. You want to feel joy and contented and happiness in your day-to-day living. You know, and I think that's very, very important. And I think we also, like, the mechanics of our bodies have never changed, Claire. It's how we're treating our bodies every single day. You know, and I think that's really important to remember that. And that's what I say to a lot of people. You know, it's how we're treating our bodies. You know, so like, find your joy. When you find your joy, it'll radiate through your skin.
What about you then? I feel when you're talking about your work, joy does radiate from you. How have you found the process from having an idea to now getting to the stage that you're at now? Because I think sometimes when you have an idea and you have a mission, it can get busy, it can get difficult, there can be staff, there can be all kinds of, you know, implications that you never really considered. So how have you managed to keep the joy throughout it all?
Probably at the very start, if I were to be incredibly honest, I had no idea what I was getting myself in for. But I had this real passion of, like I started off as a therapist and then moved into management and then into distribution, got a teaching diploma, threw that in along the way, you know, as we do as women, as a mum as well, busy mum of two. And then from there, you know, had this idea. So, you know, it's like this year, like we started this journey in 2018, 19. you know, it's 2025 now. It has never been an overnight success, you know, but it's just been, it's you know, running a business, it's not an easy journey, but it's most certainly rewarding. And I surround myself with really good people, you know, really good, clever people that are doing things that I can't do. You know, and I think that's really, really important as well. You know, Chupi Sweetman, Dernie was my lead last year in the Starting Strong program. So, I mean, like, I think if you align yourself and, you know, build a community, you know, be involved in a community, that's very, very important, especially in business, because we're all going through the same thing. It just may be at different stages. And it's very important that we support each other along the journey. Because, you know, you're going to have easy days and you're going to have hard days. But each one of them, it's like, but sure, that's life, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just, you know, that's life.
Yeah. Yeah. And as you said, you know, keeping at the centre why you want to do this in the first place.
Yes.
And that's always what it is that you're doing. I think that really helps to keep driving it on those difficult days.
That's so rewarding.
Yeah.
I think that this was an idea that you had. Because when you have skin issues, it can really knock your confidence. And that's in all aspects, you know. So, yeah, so it's been, you know, the journey is, you know, it's like every journey. It's it has its good days and its bad days, but majority of the time it's very rewarding.
And I love that you are using the product to start conversations about gut health and the microbiome, and that it's not just use this serum and your life will change. And I was at your birthday celebration recently. You had a nutritionist alongside you talking about eating the rainbow, diversity, plant diversity, minding your stress levels, and everything that you've said there now. And I just think that's so important, and sometimes it's missing.
Yeah.
That people, as I said, sell this kind of this quick fix, but you're using it to start the conversation about our gut health.
Yeah, there is no quick fixes. You know, we really just need to look at how we are living, look at the food that we're eating, but being mindful of what we're doing. I think that's the most important thing, being mindful and being aware and being knowledgeable. And again, educate our kids, you know, educate them as much as we possibly can in everyday living. From what they're eating to how they're sleeping, you know, they're the next generation.
Oh, my kids are done in listening to me. But yes, let's keep going. I don't plan to stop talking anytime soon. If people want to find out more, they can go to SostaSkinHealth.com. Michelle McDonald, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much, Claire.
Alive and kicking on News Talk.
Now, about every 6 to 8 weeks, we have our Therapist from the Couch series with clinical hypnotherapist Fiona Brennan, best-selling author, retreat and event host. For more, see thepositivehabit.com, and she's also on Instagram. If you would like advice on an issue that's going on in your life, you can anonymously email. We will remove all names and identifying features. Get in touch with us, aliveandkicking@newstalk.com. And Fiona joins me on the line now from Greece, where she lives her best life and spends her summers. Fiona, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Claire. It's Kalimera, as we say here. good day.
Every time you pop up on my Instagram stories, you're glowing more and more. So you'd really love life there, don't you?
I do, yes. And you know what it is more than anything? It's the ability to be out in nature so much. I love the connection to the sea, the mountains, and being outside is just incredible, Claire.
You've just had your retreat over there. How did that go?
Yeah, it went amazing. A beautiful group, and a lot of tears, a lot of fun, a lot of meditation, yoga, excursions. It's such an amazing experience. And we stay in Natalia's house, which is a lovely sort of holiday village, if you like. And it's like going into a Cretan home. Like, the Natalia and her mother greet our guests with such warmth and love and home cooking. And it's a very earthy, real experience of life here. You get to experience what it's like to be part of a Greek family, which is very, very special.
Lovely. Well, I definitely have it on the list for one of these years. But now to the matter at hand.
Yeah.
We had a very interesting email come in. I'll read it and hear what you have to say. It says, hi, I'm not really sure how to say this. I'm in my early 40s and I run my own business and I'm constantly having to put myself out there, pitching and looking to make deals. The thing is, I get really anxious before meetings and I don't sleep well for days. Even though the business is successful, I feel like it won't last. The hardest part is I keep having this feeling like I'm a fraud and everyone's going to find out. I don't actually know what I'm doing. It's exhausting and it's holding me back. I feel silly even bringing it up. Is this something you've seen before? And is there actually a way to get past it? And interestingly enough, it's worth saying, even though we are anonymous, this came from a guy. Quite often it's women who email in, but it's interesting that this was a guy. Is this something that you would see often in clinic, Fiona?
It is. Do you know what, Claire? It's so on the money, if you like, in terms of the reason that most of my male clients have come to see me over the years is this very thing. And it's essentially almost like as if, you know, it's they're close to burnout in terms of the stress and the exhaustion that this performance anxiety is causing them. And, you know, imposter syndrome is often referred to, or the original research around it was in terms of women. But I've seen it in so many men over the years. And this listener is like represents so many clients. So I think it's worth, first of all, just really saying to this man that he is not alone. You know, it's so common. And it is really a testament to him that he's expressing it out loud. This is already a step forward, if you like, in terms of progress. You know, actually just writing in and putting it down on paper is very, or on email is very impactful and is going to start to help immediately. So why is it that men, I suppose, in particular, sort of, you know, have this type of anxiety, and it's very much related to work, is quite primitive in its origins, if you like, and a sense of, you know, so many men are conditioned to suppress their emotion, especially of you know, our generation and before. And they just haven't learned this language. They kind of, it's the way I look at it is they understand it internally. Like they, you know, they're as emotional as we are, women, in terms of feeling pressure, anxiety, sadness, anger, all of the emotions that we feel. But they can't express it outside. So they have the language internally, but they don't know how to speak it externally. And the reason for that is that it's literally being conditioned out of them from the age of, you know, as young as five or six, boys are taught, you know, to sort of push back and hold back on their emotion and not show fear in particular is a sign of weakness. So fast forward to this guy, he's running his own business, which in itself, as I'm sure we can relate, Claire, you know, it is pressure. There's a lot of, you know, consistent expectation and, you know, you need to deliver a lot of the time. And you have someone who, you know, it kind of compounds, if you like, it sort of comes together in terms of when that individual is asked to speak out, you know, whether it's a pitch, a presentation, it can feel like a magnifying glass is on a person in terms of that anxiety or fear. And the fear being seen is often at its greatest, you know, because that, again, can be interpreted, especially in the business world, as a weakness. And so it's really interesting that is predominantly why men go and seek help, is because they're beginning to get to really worry about the impact it's going to have on their ability to perform at work or to run their business or to manage their team. And I've seen it, as I say, Claire, in so many people over the years. And one of the things that I think, like, just in terms of acknowledging it, like this letter here, this email to us, is a client comes to mind who was feeling very similar. And what happened was really helped him was that one of his bosses, actually, he was working in finance in a, you know, quite high senior management. And one of his bosses actually sort of opened up to him and said, you know, I actually get really nervous before having to go into the board or, you know, to pitch or to present. And this opened the door for my client to really start to remove the shame around it. And that's a huge part of the transformation, is actually the ability to speak openly about it. You know, the work of Brené Brown, of course, she will emphasize how important it is to actually be open, and how when we're open, you know, shame just doesn't have the same ability to take its grip on us.
Yeah, and that vulnerability in leadership, it is so important. We're starting to take down these masks and be really honest. And anytime I'm asked to speak around workplace well-being, I always ask about honesty, because we talk about work-life balance as if they're two separate things, like you've got your work life and you've got your home life, and they're both sort of 50-50, and you have to do your best to try and get that in balance. Whereas really, it's all life. So I always promote a workplace where you can walk in and say, do you know what, I had a really rough night with the kids. Do you know what, me and my partner aren't getting on at the moment. You don't have to air your dirty laundry, but just that honesty and openness about what's going on with us ultimately leads to loyalty, productivity, and just this understanding that we're all just doing the best we can with whatever we've got.
Absolutely. And it brings, it also leads to connection, you know, because once there's a vulnerability there, there's a sense of I can relate to you, you can relate to me. And we're not putting on a mask. We're not pretending to be something that we're not. So again, with that example, my client, you know, just being able to admit to his staff, you know, when he could see them being nervous, is, oh, it's fine, I get like that too. And all of a sudden, all of that fear is removed. And there's an ability to actually, like you say, communicate honestly. So that is a huge step for this listener, is to be able to realize that by speaking about it, you know, it can't survive. It's like Brené Brown says, shame cannot survive being spoken, right? So once it's spoken out, it's starting to already diminish through that power of acknowledgement.
And I was doing breathwork teacher training at the weekend, and everyone was sort of sharing, who was the people that were learning, and people were talking about being scared, you know, to hold a class, or, you know, those who hadn't yet, and that fear around it. And, you know, I was sort of, my input to it was this negativity bias we have, that we do try to protect ourselves. So anything new, we're going to have alarm bells, and we're going to think, oh no, wouldn't it be much better if I just stayed in bed all day? Why would I put myself out there? So that imposter syndrome, that fear around something new, is very normal. But at what point of running your own business or working in a position or being a parent or whatever your role is, should we start to step into that and believe in ourselves? Or will we always have a bit of doubt rumbling on?
Well, it's a great question. And I to be honest, like I've done a lot of public speaking training. I've done a lot of courses where I help people with this, because it's such a topic in of itself. But the way I look at it is, like, this guy, he's not sleeping for days, probably even sometimes weeks before, you know, an important meeting or pitch. And what you really want is that window of nerves and fear and excitement gets shorter and shorter and shorter. Okay. So in other words, you're sleeping peacefully the night before, okay, you're absolutely at ease, you're relaxed, you're calm, you're aware of what's happening the next day, but it's not interrupting your nervous system. You're regulated and you're calm. And that's the way that we need to be to operate at our optimum, obviously. And so essentially that window gets shorter and shorter. But I often say, you know, I would be nervous if I wasn't nervous, right? In some sense. And when I say nervous, I mean that there's an adrenaline, there's an excitement. Even me speaking to you now on the radio, if I'm so horizontal and so relaxed, I'm not going to be able to communicate as clearly as I need to. So we want that window to be there, but essentially it does get so much shorter that it starts to just build even minutes before you're about to present or to, you know, to pitch, whatever it might be in business. And I think that's, you know, that awareness of knowing you've got this energy, and how do you use it? How do you sort of form it, if you like, to serve you, as opposed to when it gets out of control? And you're absolutely spot on, Claire, about the negativity bias. You know, the brain will tell you all sorts of threats. You know, it sees these events as threats, and they're really not threats, they're opportunities. But it's teaching yourself how to understand that, and also to understand your own story. Like this guy, you know, there's probably reasons there in his own background as well that would help him to have insight and understanding of why he is suffering from this. You know, essentially it's imposter syndrome, you know, in terms of it doesn't matter how successful the business is, it's not giving him that sense of confidence and self-belief that he needs. And that can be a never-ending, you know, cycle of chasing more. If I get that deal, then I'll relax and we get that deal. And, you know, there's just no deal that's going to strike it.
Yeah.
It needs to be an internal validation system. And that's where you are actually really, you know, rewarding yourself in terms of being genuinely proud of yourself for the effort rather than the result. And that's a huge, you know, step forward in terms of insight. So the question is, like, you know, how can I get past this, right? And I totally understand and relate to that. But what I would say is that it's more important, rather than get past it, you need to go through it, right, before you can get past it. So there's definitely work here for this lovely listener to actually embrace. So I would say that he probably, what would benefit him is maybe some one-to-one therapy where he can start to get a better insight into the you know, his own reasons for that anxiety. It could be something to do with, you know, how his father related to work, what kind of role models he had, and just understanding that can be very, very liberating. So that's one thing I would say. Another thing I think is great, and I've recommended to clients over the years, is men's circles. And that's where you can really start to see that you're not alone. And that is hugely beneficial. Like, even, you know, on the retreat now, when I've just run, where people start to share things and other people go, oh my God, you feel like that too. And it's like, yeah, I do. And that just really is transformative, because you know you're not alone. So I would say a men's circle could be really good for this listener, and to start to just communicate in a more authentic way around men would be amazing.
Yeah. And I think as well as those insights, I think becoming conscious of our thought patterns is so important. As you said, even the fact that he has acknowledged this now is step one. That's an amazing step. A lot of people sleepwalk through it and just panic for every work situation.
Yeah.
But catching yourself saying, oh my God, I can't. Oh my God. You know, and then saying, no, hang on a second. Is that true? What evidence have I got to back that up? Sure, you know, I'm doing this X amount of years. Didn't I have that meeting last week? Didn't I have that pitch successful? And just reframing those thoughts, I think, can really, really help. But as usual, you've given great insight yourself. If people want to find out more information, they can go to thepositivehabit.com, and Fiona has the Light Up Your World course with a free sleep time audio available until July 18th. So do check that out at thepositivehabit.com. If you'd like Fiona's advice, you can go to aliveandkicking@newstalk.com. It's all anonymous, and hopefully you'll come back in a few weeks and answer somebody else. Because as you said, Fiona, we're all going through the same stuff.
Absolutely, Claire. Thank you so much for having me, and enjoy the rest of your days.
Alive and Kicking on Newstalk.
Now, Tammy Darcy has been on the show before. She is founder of the Shona Project. She has grown it from an idea to a nationally recognised award-winning organisation that provides support, advice and mentorship to young women and non-binary school-going students. They celebrate women all over the world and recently announced that they will be bringing boys into the group chat. And Tammy Darcy joins me in studio now. Tammy, you're very welcome.
I love that, bringing the boys into the group chat.
The boys have entered the group chat, because I remember in one of our first interviews, I don't know if you were on to talk about your book or the Shona Project in general, but I said, what about the boys? And I remember you saying at the time, well, on the one hand, I have to sort of stay in my lane. I can only do what I can do. But since you've began to grow the organisation, now is the time where you're able to take that on.
Well, I wouldn't even say that I'm able to take it on. I would just say nobody else took it on. So I mean, to be fair, the last time we spoke, we were really working hard to get the Shona Project for Girls to the stage that it's at now. And increasingly over the last couple of years, our girls are telling us that, you know, they feel boys need support, and that they feel that boys are not equipped to deal with, you know, things like relationships and stuff like that. So, you know, we've been hoping that somebody else would, because there's 250,000 girls in Ireland, and that's going to keep us busy for a while. But as time went on, I kind of realised, well, we have built a framework here now that's working. So rather than somebody else coming in and starting from scratch, if we could just fundraise enough to fund this for a year and see how it goes. And we were able to do that. So now hopefully from September, we'll be able to go out and do similar work with young men.
And it's so important, isn't it? And I mean, I did mention non-binary. So, I mean, this is for everyone. This is for young people. This is basically supporting young people to be the strongest adults that they can be. And initially you wanted to obviously do it for girls. So to empower girls, we need to be talking to the boys as well, because, you know, ultimately we all interact.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's like any kind of equality movement existing in a vacuum where, you know, most of the people who talk about gender equality are women, and we can only do so much and we can only bring it to such a certain level before we need everybody to get involved. And we've always said about the girls that when you support girls, you support their schools, their teachers, their communities, their parents, you know, everybody benefits, their employers. And there really just has been a gap there for so long that I feel now that once we are able to give boys the same level of supports, it will make school systems, families, communities much more empowered, and young people who will eventually become employees, hopefully we'll be able to give them the tools that they need to succeed.
Because something that you said to me previously that has really stayed with me was girls saying that they felt like a moving target. Mm. And that's really quite startling. And obviously you want to talk to girls about how to navigate that, how to feel empowered through that. Mm. But then you're going to have to speak to the boys. If you really want to help that issue, the boys need to be spoken about, not only about that and how they view girls if they're heteronormative. At the same time, there are big gaps in support for boys. I mean, they really need that. And I say that as a mother of a son, as I know you are of two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And actually, I feel that, to be honest, a lot of this conversation is alienating the boys, because you don't support boys so that they treat girls well. You don't support boys so that, you know, they don't get into, so that they don't commit crimes. You support boys because boys need support, you know, and I feel that that's why so many boys feel left out of this whole conversation. And I think that when you are able to give them space and time to figure out what it means to be a man in the same way that we do with the girls, then hopefully they won't do those things, but they feel like they're part of the conversation and they feel like somebody cares about just their general well-being. And young boys are amazing. As you know, you said, I have two, you have one. There's so much potential there, but they just feel left out of the conversation. And I think that's why so many of them are turning to kind of frameworks and communities that are not really positive.
Yeah, well, good for you. I feel a little calmer inside that Shona Project are taking this on, and we might look at it as you get up and running with that a little bit more. But let's talk about the girls then, because you did do incredible research this year. It's called Perfect Storm. And I just want to give some of the stats from it, some of the headline stats. 67% of girls say their school environment is not safe or a welcoming space at all. 89% carry anxiety or worry that nobody knows about. 79% sometimes feel no good at all. 80% believe their generation faces more challenges than those before. And 70% feel social media negatively affects their mental health. When you got these stats back from this piece of research, were you surprised, or is this what you're hearing in workshops all the time anyway?
Not one bit surprised. What we wanted to do was capture it, because we've been saying this for years and we've been hearing this anecdotally. And, you know, I really feel like young people are existing through this perfect storm. And that's why we called it that, because it's not any one particular problem. You can't narrow it down to just social media or to just gender inequality or to cost of living crisis or, you know, bad leadership at government level or across the world. Like, you can't narrow it down. It's all of those things all of the time. And that's why so many are struggling. And I also feel like they think they don't have a voice, and they think that, you know, they can't impact or affect change, and they think that they won't be valued for being, you know, strong women who are out there creating change, because that's not what the world has shown them. So it is that perfect storm that they're existing in. And, you know, I was writing a funding application on the way up on the train this morning, and I was just trying to capture what it is that we do. And I think what we do is not to fix girls, but to show them they don't need to be fixed. You know, they have everything that's within them, and that is valued and it is important. And when you lean into those things then and figure out who you are and show up however that means for you, that's when you start to feel, I suppose, more equipped and more part of the world.
Something you said when you released these figures was that this is a call to action, because obviously you can't just tie it all up in a bow and say, here's the stats and here's how we're going to fix it. And now let's just get on with it. You're going to need support. Yeah. And you wanted to hear from communities, from government, from leadership and from the girls themselves as to how we start to turn those stats around. So have you felt any of that action come back?
Yeah, I mean, we always said the Shona Project is not a charity, it's a movement for change. And, you know, so many people have showed up, you included. So many people are like, what do you need? Because they see the value and they see the importance of it. And they kind of look to themselves and say, well, what do I have or what can I give? Whether that's funding or a platform or a mentorship or whatever the case may be. People have shown up in their droves for us. And I think as an organisation, if you look at the impact that we've had, we're punching way above our weight in terms of like the revenue that we have, our budgets, our team. And that's because of people like yourself and others that have shown up for us. And we need that to continue, because we're just about to launch our strategy for the next three years. And our vision is way bigger than anything we've even done to date. Obviously, we need to work more with government. And I think now that we have this research and other research like it, we're able to represent the girls where decisions are being made. And we're starting to see that happen where we're being invited into those rooms and we're able to take their stories and share them. And again, that will show the girls themselves, actually, when you do speak out, things will happen and people will listen. So it really has become almost like an ecosystem. And we don't see ourselves as running the show. We see ourselves as just kind of making it happen and supporting those girls and pushing them forward and just getting them to believe in themselves.
And I love that you mentioned ecosystem, because even in that call to action, as I said, you were talking about communities, families, the girls themselves, as well as leaders and policymakers. So this is going to be an all-encompassing movement. Yeah. But can we talk about the schools? Because I think that's quite stark. 67% say their school environment is not a safe or welcoming space at all. And because secondary school in particular is such a chunk of those formative teenage years, that's quite sad to see. And I know there are incredible teachers, principals, well-meaning individuals working within that space. But that's something that really needs to be looked at and reworked.
Yeah, we've partnered with some great schools that have said, whatever programs you have, let's engage through the whole school community. And, you know, we've been able to collaborate with them to start creating that impact. And then, you know, what we see is girls go into first year and they see the older girls treating each other in a certain way and competing with each other and struggling with anxiety, and they feel like this is just what it is to be in secondary school. So it's very hard to change that. You kind of have to go in and hit it from every angle and have conversations early on about, let's redefine this process for ourselves. I think young women being able to feel some level of leadership. So our ambassador program, say, for example, we've identified young leaders in over 100 schools across Ireland, and we've built a network for those leaders, and we're developing that leadership, and then those girls become leaders within their own school, positive leaders and role models to the younger girls. So it's certainly possible to do it. I think teachers, you know, most of them are amazing, but they're overworked and they're not equipped to provide the level of support that so many young people need. I think it's kind of a post-COVID thing, is that the needs have totally changed and the system hasn't adapted to meet those needs yet. But organisations like ours were able to come in quickly and to be agile, you know, and to look at, well, where are the gaps? Let's bring in the expertise and let's get this done.
Yeah, and give the framework, because obviously the intention can be there, but you need to know what are the steps to follow. And that's why I think it's so impactful what you guys are doing. What about the girls then? Because you kind of put a call out to the girls themselves. What can we do to help you with what these stats are saying? What have they been saying?
I think what they've been saying is, first of all, the research is really refreshing for them, because they feel like, as I said, they have been heard, and they feel like, well, maybe it's not just me when they're seeing the stats. So they're like, okay, well, this is where we are. What are we going to do about it? And we found multiple ways to support them, either through direct mentorship, through the ambassador program, which I mentioned, our school anti-bullying workshops. But really what we want to do is give them the tools to become leaders themselves. You know, we can't do it for them. We have to just kind of build an environment that feels safe enough for them to figure that out for themselves. And I think they're just happy to have a voice and to feel that that voice means something.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there doesn't always have to be this pink bow. and everything is solved. But to be able to be seen and heard is so huge. Talk to me a bit about something else that you launched recently, 500 by 500.
On my team call, this a 3AMer. It's usually an idea that comes to me at 3AM. And what we wanted to do was build a movement where our generation would support the next generation. So we're calling on 500 women to either fundraise or donate €500 a year so that we can fund our operations for the next 3 years. And that could be anything. We had a lovely woman the other day. She made jewellery and she sold it online to raise her money. Some women are business owners or are part of a community. They have dinner parties. And then we're going to mobilise those 500 women to be the generation that show up for the next generation. And we might have, you know, some events. It's a lovely community that we have planned for those 500 women and men, obviously, of course, or smaller organisations. But we're really putting the call out because there's 250,000 girls in Ireland. We want to raise 250,000 a year so that we can make sure every one of them has what they need.
How do you make sure that you have what you need in the midst of that? You mentioned 3AMers. This is not a 9 to 5 walk out the door and forget about what you're doing. And I know it's a passion and that brings its own fuel. But how do you make sure you mind yourself within all of this?
Such a Claire McKenna question. Look, I wouldn't feel sorry for me. I work very hard, but I have the best job in the world. I have a great team. I have amazing support. I have a brilliant family. I do my best. But, you know, this job has been a brilliant opportunity for me to be able to create something that will hopefully outlast me and become a legacy that will last maybe for generations. So, yeah, you don't need to feel sorry for me. I'm doing okay.
And every now and then you hold yourself up in gorgeous Roundwood House in Leash and hide away for a couple of nights. So, yes, because we need you. We need you fit, well, and to continue doing the incredible work you and your team are doing. If you want to find out more, you can read that report of Perfect Storm, the stats, and hear how you can support. Go to shona.ie. Tammy Darcy, thank you so much for coming on.
Cheers.
So that's it for Alive and Kicking for this week. My thanks to my producer, Marace O'Sullivan. Rory Galvin was on podcasts and Hugo Da Silva Scott was on sound. And thanks to you for listening. I will see you next week.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk.